glasses, everything else. Well, welcome. We're glad you're here. The Lord has given us another day to worship Him. Amen. It's the day that the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. Getting a little rusty on my guitar. Been working on that a little bit these last couple days, but haven't done that in a while. But so good to have you here at Bear Creek. And those of you who are joining us online, we want to say welcome to you. We're actually wrapping up our series called Good, Evil, and the Slippery Slope. How many of you know we are living on a slippery slope, aren't we, in our world today? And we don't have to as believers. Our feet are on a firm foundation, amen? And we know where we stand. You know, sometimes circumstances in life can make it kind of difficult for you and I to be all that God wants us to be. And there's this constant pressure, isn't there, to bend and to compromise and to trade in our values for what's popular and what's happening today. And so we trade in these sacred convictions of God for to be accepted or to be affirmed by others or to be to receive attention and acceptance from other people. And it's easy to get caught up in that. And my prayer is that through this series that we've come to understand the importance of absolute truth, that when we come to know Jesus, we come to know absolute truth. And so when it comes to life and it comes to interpreting our world, we interpret our world. We have a worldview that is biblical. And it's biblical because that's where we find where God's framework is. And look, God's law, His commands, His promises, it's a framework for living. And it's not a drudgery to live within God's commands, within God's promises. It's a blessing. They're not necessarily these rules that they aren't these rules that squeeze us and pressure us and push us in and prevent us and restrict us, but they're these guardrails that prevent us from falling and being destroyed. Okay? They're guardrails. They keep us from falling over the cliff. They're boundaries that keep us framed in and keep us in clear mind and understanding the ways of God and the ways of the world that He created. But you know, but I don't know how many of you realize this, but Satan is always trying to deceive you. And not only is he trying to deceive you, he's trying to groom you. I remember a few years ago, I watched this special. It was one of these 2020 specials. And it was about this group that was trying to show parents how easy it is for a predator to kind of lead your child astray. Some of you probably saw this special, okay? It was pretty shocking. It was kind of scary to watch it. But they worked with the parents beforehand. The parents brought the kids out to a park. And a man, just a stranger, walked up to the child, no more than maybe 5 years old, and said, "Look, I've got this puppy. And it's really cute. It's white. It's really fluffy with these cute little ears. And I can't find him. Can you help me go look for him?" And, you know, it sort of warmed the hearts of the kids. The kids would go, "Oh, a fluffy puppy? Oh, a white little fluffy puppy with cute ears? Of course I'll go help you find the puppy." And the example of the show is to show us how easy it is for children to be led astray. But how many of y'all know it's easy for us to be led astray too? If we don't know where we're standing, if we're not standing on the solid rock of truth, always understanding how sin is always pushing us to compromise, our sins speak to us and speak about our, it tells us that our sinful desires need to be fed and we need to feed them, right? And so without God's boundaries, without His guardrails, it's hard to know how to perceive and to interact with these feelings inside of us. Because listen, Sin is always working, and the devil is always working. The world would say, if you really love people, you'll accept everyone, and which we do. We love people. We value people as Christians. And the world would say, if you really love people, you would let them do what they want to do. And look, we have to realize that God has given us a framework, and it's to bless those people. And the world would say, if you don't support this idea or this philosophy, you are filled with hate. And this is where we start drawing the line, right? And we start to realize that we're being lured in with the little puppy. We're being lured in to the trick and the lie and the deception when the world says and redefines things and says, this is hate, and you start to feel the pressure of the world, and you're like, look, I don't want to hate people. I don't want to be a hater. And so for the acceptance and the affections of the world, we can get drawn in. And God has a word for you today. He has a word for you today. Because this is, I'll tell you, it's manipulation. And it's happening all around us. And the one who stands in the end is the one who stands for the truth. The one who stands in the end is the one who knows the truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus, he not only projects truth, he is truth. And so when we know him, we know the truth. He says, if you're my disciples, you will know me, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so today we're talking about character, integrity, godliness. And we'll make our way through this passage first. It's in Romans chapter 5, if you want to turn with me there. We're going to make our way through that passage, but first I want to sort of go back a little bit and give you a few examples of where we're at and where this passage is leading. So if you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Listen to what it says. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. It says this, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, well, here's the deal. In chapter 4, whenever you see the word therefore, like you see at the beginning of chapter 5, you need to ask the question, what is it there for, right? So if you see therefore, you ask, what is it there for? Well, we look in the previous chapter, in chapter 4, and the Apostle Paul is talking, and he's addressing these Jewish converts to Christianity, and he's pointing out Abraham's faith. So he's talking about faith. And he's talking about how Abraham lived by faith. Faith in God, faith in the promises of God. And he says in verse 19 of chapter 4, it says, Abraham did not weaken in faith. And he goes on in verse 20, it says, he grew strong in the faith as he gave glory to God. He didn't weaken in faith. He grew strong in the faith as he gave glory to God. In other words, God has always honored those who live by faith. And that's what Paul is making known. Paul continues to drill down on this, and I want you to see where he lands as he begins talking about true faith. Watch this, verse 1 of chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. One truth I think every human being must understand is our biggest problem is with God as a human being, as part of mankind. Our deepest concern should be with God. That's where our deepest concern should be. Nothing on this earth, no catastrophe, no event, no loss, no difficulty could even remotely compare to our biggest problem, and that is with God. The problem and horror of our sin against God is the biggest, most catastrophic problem on the face of this earth. I just want you to know how big this is. And our sin and our guilt has utterly and completely condemned us and separated us from a holy God, the one who created us, the one who gave us life. Isaiah 59:2, it says, our sins have cut us off from God. And I know this is heavy, but this is just how important it is when we're talking about faith. But for every believer in here, here's the deal. Life is no longer an issue of the horror and the peril because we have been justified. We have been justified. That's what Paul says here, that we have been justified. Listen to what he says again. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. We are justified by faith. What does that mean? That means that the Bible says that all of us have sinned, fallen short of God's glory, every single one of us. And the wages and what we earn for sin is death, complete separation from God. But God provided this gift of Jesus Christ that when we put our faith, and this is the kind of faith that Paul's talking about here, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, he bears our cross on the sin. He dies for our sins, and he gives us new life. And from that point on, we are justified as we stand before a holy God. No longer is sin a catastrophic issue where it separates you from God. No longer does that happen. Now, you are justified by faith, and it's really by his grace. And he goes on, and he says this, Paul, in verse 2, through him, which is Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And so we have gained access, right, to God. And this must have been a shocker for the Jews when the Jews got this information, when Paul was writing this, because they had been told all along that they could not stand before a holy God. They could not see him face to face or they would die. That's how holy he is. And so when they hear now that we have access, this had to cause them to stand up and take notice that now we have obtained access by faith into this grace which we stand. Now through Jesus, we have access. We can't stand on our own merit and on our own good works, but by his grace we stand. I just want to walk you through this, how important this is as believers. Because we're getting to this, we're going to be talking about this topic of character today. But if you miss these groundworking truths, you miss a lot when we talk about living with godly character. Because God graciously, he made a way for us. He made a way for the hopeless sinner by offering up his son to die in our place so that we may have life and we may be justified. And it wasn't anything that we did. It was by his grace. So now I love what he says here. He says, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Okay? Now I want you to think, we're talking about character today. And we're talking about this faith that we live by. And now we can boldly take a stand because of who we are in Christ, because of what he has done. And so by grace through faith, we stand and our footing is sure and there is a clear hope, he says. Something to always celebrate. Every believer in here should celebrate this. So in verse 3, it says, not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering. What's this all about? We rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance. See, we're so different than the world now. As a believer, we handle things, it's almost like everything is handled opposite of the way we used to handle it. And it took me so long as a believer, as I grew, and the Bible calls it sanctification, as I was growing and becoming more and more and more like Christ, and I've got a long way to go, y'all. I have not arrived, okay, by far. But as I grow, I come to understand more and more my sinfulness, more and more what God rescued me from, more and more of who He is, and more of where I stand as a believer. So we rejoice now. And like I said, it just turns everything upside down. The world says when you suffer, when you go through difficulty, you might as well just give up. There's nothing good that can come out of suffering. That's what the world says. But here, and in many passages in the New Testament, we see that we rejoice in our suffering. Listen to what he says, knowing that suffering produces endurance. So now we live by faith under God's grace, and we have a greater hope. We have peace with God now. And how we handle things in this world, it's so different because of the peace that we have with God. Because you could do anything to me on this earth, and it wouldn't matter because I have peace with God. If I'm going to live here, to live as Christ, to die as gain, it's just that much more. It's that much more great. And I have peace here. And even in my sufferings, I'm growing. In the good times, I'm growing. In the bad times, I'm growing. When life is falling apart, for me as a believer, sure, all remorse. Sure, all mourn. I'll mourn the loss. I'll kind of have to work through some of that. But for me as a believer, inside of that suffering is growing. And what's happening here in the suffering? Here's what's happening. We rejoice in our suffering, knowing full well because of where we stand and who we stand on and the peace we have with God and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, knowing full well that suffering, it produces something. What does it produce? It produces endurance. And so while the world despairs in suffering, we find rejoicing. Why? Because God is shaping us. And he's doing something, and he's teaching us endurance, okay? And look, and I was talking with somebody about this earlier this week. You know, if God wants you to get to a 10, and let's just pretend right now you're at a 2, okay? And he wants you to get to a 10, okay? See, what happens with a faithful follower of Christ, the endurance takes you from a 2 to a 3 to a 4, okay? As you're growing in him, you hit those hard times and you're depending on him. You hit those difficulties and your eyes now, they're getting trained to fix on him instead of on the circumstances, which was your old life. That was the old you. You're fixing your eyes. You've been trained by the old you. Okay? You've been trained by the old you, but now, under your new training, under his lordship, listen to me, under his lordship, now you're learning endurance, and that endurance is taking you from a 2 to a 3. Now watch. For the believer, suffering shapes us and gives us more endurance. The lost world, often they grow hopeless and resentful and bitter in the suffering. But those who are in Christ, they endure through. How are they doing it? They're finding their strength in the Lord. It's his power, not my own, right? Verse 4, and endurance produces what? Say it with me. Character, right? And character produces hope. So that endurance, that God dependency, as you're enduring and you're moving through that, and what he's doing is he's growing you. He's saying, Scott, I know that you're going through tough times. I want you to trust me right now. Lean on the promises. Lean on the things that I'm telling you to do. Put your faith in me. Trust in me. I'm going to walk you through this. And through that endurance, he's shaping. And what is he shaping? He's shaping and producing character. He's shaping and producing character. And where does that character lead? That character produces hope. Look at verse 5. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Look what he means here, okay? It's hope that is developed through the endurance, that has developed through godly character. This hope that's inside of you, that you're learning to realize more and more as you're growing, as you're enduring and developing godly character. As that grows, it grows into hope, and that hope will not put you to shame. It will not shame you. It will give you a strength that when the world comes in and crushes against you, the suffering, the deception, all those things, inside of that, you're fine. You're good to go. You're experiencing the endurance that God talks about. You're experiencing the kind of faith that gives you the endurance that produces the character. So what is character? You know, in October, this is an amazing story, October 21st, 1966. Anybody alive during 1966? Okay, some of you. A little bit older than me. October 21st, 1966 was just an average day in a small Welsh mining town of Aberfan. Everyone went about their day as normal. The coal miners made their way to the mines. The children made their way to school. The tragedy this small village was about to endure began 100 years prior to this event. In 1870, the miners began disposing of their coal waste just outside of town. And over the years, the small mound of waste grew into a large mound. Everyone talked about it. Everyone knew it was a bad idea, and everyone talked about this problem. But to fix the problem would slow down the mining production. So the concerns were never addressed, and over the 100-year span, the pile of waste grew to the size of a small mountain just outside of town. Well, on October 21st, 1966, it was an unusually rainy month, and the residents had made their way to work. The children settled into the school when a loud rumbling sound was heard throughout the town. And to the horror of every resident, the debris pile had collapsed and slid down the valley straight into the schoolhouse, claiming the lives of practically every child in town from elementary all the way to high school age. An entire generation completely wiped out from a problem that had been mounting and ignored for 100 years. This was a day that had been in the making for a long time, and we've all seen this, even as a pastor, where people go, they go through these just difficulties, these catastrophic events that were years in the making, and it always seems to amaze me, because it always seems to take people by surprise, right? They go through these difficulties, whatever it is. Maybe it's a divorce or unwanted pregnancy or financial problems, and there's all these ways that could have and should have, right? But when it comes, when that day comes, and all the signs get ignored, catastrophe hits. And so why do we have such a hard time recognizing traps and recognizing where this may lead? One of the things that generated this message series, this sermon series, was just seeing kind of the things that have been flaring up in our nation. And, you know, there are things that we could have done, right, that could have prevented some of these things from taking place. But it happens over time as we compromise our convictions and we loosen up our value system. And so our convictions and our values, and look, sometimes we're holding strong to our convictions and strong to our values, okay? Sometimes we don't even know what those are. Things are kind of loose and in the air. And I think I see this with Christians where they don't really know where to draw the line anymore. And so they're trying to get some information from the world and a little bit from God, and they're just trying to figure out where to land. Well, this is where godly character comes into place, the kind of character that's developed, the kind of character that Paul is talking about in this passage. And so, you know, over time I've come to realize this great definition, this great definition of character. This is John Piper, and he says this: character is the will to do what is right as defined by God, regardless of personal cost. See, the hard part is the personal cost, right? To stand true to what God says, to his standard, the hard part is the personal cost in doing that. And you see, Paul was pointing out Abraham's faith, and he was showing these Jewish believers how important faith is, and the kind of faith where we set our feet on the solid rock. And he says in chapter 4, verse 20, no unbelief made him waver, it says, talking about Abraham. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promises of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. And he kept growing, and he kept enduring, and God kept shaping his character. So it was this amazing faith. Not an easy beliefism where, God, yes, I believe in you, give me my ticket to heaven. That's easy beliefism. That's an inaccurate view of faith. That's not what faith is. Faith is trusting in the person and works of Jesus Christ, and it's trusting him as Lord, that's above all things, the boss of everything, right? And Savior, the one who rescues you from your sin. And so here's what he's saying. He's Abraham was a man of faith, and that faith made him a man of endurance and a man of character. And it produced a will to do what is right as it was defined by God, regardless of the cost. And you see this time and time again in different characters in the Bible. And you see as followers of Christ, we now live on the promises of God. And we no longer, as Paul puts it in Ephesians, are tossed to and fro by the waves that are carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and craftiness and deceitful schemes. We're no longer tossed to and fro. We know where we stand, and we know who to run to if we don't know how to make a decision. If we don't know where to draw the line, we know who to run to, and our faith drives us to him, and our faith brings endurance and character. So when you think of character, think of conviction, think of values. You know, when we are lost, when we have no relationship with God, God's word is very condemning. And the reason it's condemning is because the word to the unbeliever is turn to God or eternally perish. And so all of God's word is very condemning to those who have turned their hearts away from God. But to those who put their faith in him, his word is very convicting. So if his word is not convicting you, it's time to go back and work out your salvation, scripture says, with fear and trembling, okay? Because his word should always convict the heart of the believer. It should always awaken us on the inside. It should always draw our attention to where we say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. See, I'm sure some of y'all are like me, where you've had a time in your life where you're like, I know what I'm about to do is wrong. I know God doesn't really want me to do this, but I really want to do it. And so I'm going to do it anyway, and I'll ask God to forgive me later. You don't have to raise your hand, but I'm sure there's many of you that have done this before, okay? So we make this little deal with God, and we say, God, look, I know God doesn't really want me to do this. I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway, and then I'll ask him for forgiveness later, okay? I can't tell you how many times I've done that. That doesn't mean you're a lost person. It means you have growing to do as a believer. But the lost person says, I don't care what God has to say. Because they have, the godly character is not there. The standards are not there. The conviction and the values are not there. The framework's not there. The only thing a lost person can do is live on impulse. Is live on impulse. And I'll tell you, I mean, take some time and read Titus chapter 3. Titus reminds us, remember, believer, you were once one of them. You were hopelessly lost. No framework, no convictions, no standards, no values. You just sort of went with the changing tides. And here's the danger, y'all. Here's the danger. You know, the morality of this world, it's changeable. What was immoral 10, 20 years ago, today is moral. It's a time where good is seen as evil and evil is seen as good. And it takes compromise, it takes persuasion, manipulation, deception, those kinds of things. And as a believer who stands on conviction and values, which is character, we know and we can identify the deception. And we can identify when things are going off course. Well, I don't know how many of you like to bowl, but I don't know if you know this. I'm an excellent bowler. I bowl a 300 about every time I go bowling. Did y'all know that? And the reason I bowl 300 every time I go bowling is because the lane, the standard that they created for the bowling lane is 60 feet. Well, I don't like their standards. Look, I like my own standards, okay? And so what I'm gonna do is when I go to the bowling alley, I just walk down the lane and I get about 1 foot away from the pins. I take the ball and I roll right into those pins because I make the rules, okay? And what may not be right for you, hey, it doesn't matter because I make the rules, you make your own rules, I make my own rules, okay? No game can be enjoyed when everybody makes the rules. There is one God, there is one truth, there is one absolute truth. Everything else is the slippery slope. And you want to stand on absolute truth in this world of confusion. You want to remain in the world of confusion, go right ahead. But you want to be a light in the darkness, and you want to see lives changed around you because of the person that you're becoming in Christ, then turn to him in faith. And trust him. And when you do that, the peace of God will come over you, Paul says in chapter 5. And even in the suffering, you're going to be able to rejoice. Why? Because the suffering, even in the suffering, in the most difficult days, they will produce endurance. And endurance will produce character, which will lead to even a greater hope, y'all. That's what his word says. Where do you stand today? Where do you stand? Psalm 15, verse 1-5. It says this. This is a psalmist. And he gives such a beautiful picture of godly character. He says this. O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? In other words, who shall come close to you, God? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? So he's talking about that person who grows in closeness with God. Who is that? Who is that kind of person? Verse 2, he who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swear to his own heart and does not change. He does not change. You like that? Verse 5. Who does not put out his money at interest and does not take a bribe against the innocent, he who does these things shall never be moved. Why? Because that is godly character. That is a person who is standing on the conviction of God's word and the values of God's truth. Amen? So here's the question. Where are you today? Where are you today? Maybe God has been working on your heart. You know, all this during this shutdown, I hope that you're taking some time and using this time, the corona time. You know, yesterday I got a corona haircut from my wife. And you know you're in trouble when she's buzzing your head and she goes, oop. So if you look at it, you gotta look close, you probably won't see it, but if you look here at my ear, you'll see a big nick in my hair, okay? But the coronavirus has all of us kind of stuck at home and stuff. Use this as a time to get close to the Lord, to draw near to him, and to come to understand why it's so important to have godly character, because the life that we live in, the world that we live in, is a very slippery slope. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that your word, it never returns void, that it's true, that it pierces the heart, that it convicts. It brings to memory the truth of your word. I pray that for that person in here that has just been trying to find direction, that person that's been trying to find some stability in all of the unrest, whether it's in their home, whether it's in the world, I pray for that person today, Lord, that they'll come to know you, they'll come into a close walk with you, and begin to live by faith, trusting in you, that even when the difficult times come, they can endure. It produces endurance and it produces character and leads them to just a greater hope. I pray for that. Lord, as we wrap things up in the service today, I pray that when we walk out of the doors of this church, the doors of our homes, that we will be passionate about living for you, Lord Jesus, so we can be a light in this world. We rejoice in that, Lord. We celebrate in the goodness of God. When everything around us looks like it's falling apart, for the believer, you have given us victory, and we celebrate that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's...